Mobility Revolution podcasts are a series of interviews in which we ask thought leaders and innovators at the forefront of the marketing and communication industries six key questions. In this series, we explore the trend towards mobility and examine new marketing opportunities and media platforms which are providing innovative ways to connect with consumers. This series of interviews is an educational initiative supported by the Australian Association of National Advertisers and the Australian Marketing Institute.
Welcome to AdNews Mobility Revolution 2008 podcast series. I'm Peter Stevenson from On Communications, and we're about to talk with Ray Pointner, CEO of The Future Place, a thought leadership consultancy based in the UK. G'day, Ray. How are you going?
Excellent, thanks.
Where are we talking to you from this morning, Ray?
I'm in Nottingham in the UK. That's about 160 kilometres north of London.
Enjoying summer over there, I trust?
Yeah, it's kind of similar to a Brisbane winter, but otherwise it's fine.
Nothing wrong with that. Hey, Ray, look, what we want to talk to you about today is exciting. It's mobile marketing, and, you know, as a thought leadership consultancy, you just said earlier to me that, hey, you're paid to think about things for clients and look at what's happening on the horizon and look at new technologies. We want to get your perspective on where it's all heading. And I suppose where we wanted to start was to get your idea of what are the big things on the horizon that are gaining momentum, the new technologies are delivering. You know, what are the new ways people are connecting and interacting through mobile phones that you think are exciting?
Well, I think the big buzz in mobile phones for a long time now has been asynchronicity. So the first time we saw that was with the SMSing. One of the great things about it was the other person didn't have to be there at the same time.
Okay.
So people are sending mobiles through to their Facebook account. People are sending mobiles through to Twitter so that other people can follow what they're doing, changing their status update, uploading pictures, all of that side of things. It's great because they can do it at their demand.
Yep.
The big themes through a lot of modern life, actually, asynchronicity. I want to do things when I want them. I want to be able to book things online. I want to be able to check in online.
Yep.
I want to be able to change my seat on the aeroplane when I'm free. I don't expect to have to do it just when the service is being offered or whatever. That kind of drives a lot of the stuff that's happening around the mobile technology. It's facilitating that asynchronicity.
Yeah, so it's almost, there's two sides to that, communication and service.
Absolutely.
Okay. What about, just as a side, quick side question, what about platforms like Google, Android? I'm, you know, looking at what's going on there. It seems to be, we will offer a whole range of new locality-based services. What's your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I think all of this is going to go, and certainly anybody would be foolish to do anything against Google. They seem to be, you know, they've got the magic touch at the moment. They're tapping into what's going right. People are saying, yeah, I want a bit of that. I want to be able to control things. I want things my way.
Yeah, and that's what the Android will deliver in terms of all those new services.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, with looking at different applications, there seems to be a massive amount of new mobile content and services that are available. I really wouldn't mind getting your read on what you see as two things, is what applications and services and kinds of things will be successful and how much of a role price will play as a barrier to people getting into it and maybe them becoming mainstream.
Well, so with the last point first, I don't think price will be any barrier. Anything that people want, they pay for.
Okay.
You look at the phenomenal mobile phone bills that some people have now, you know, out of all recognition of where they were just a few years ago. If they want it, then they'll do it. So it's more, that's the big challenge. So when services have not taken off, it's usually not been the cost of them. So sending pictures from one mobile phone to another with the MMS service, yeah, it was a bit more price, but that wasn't why it didn't take off. Similarly, if people really get into heavily using services and they're delivering them something that they really want, and they will pay for it.
You've hit it on the head. Yeah, it's about having a product or a service that really has a need, meets a need in the market, isn't it?
Absolutely. And so being able to do more and more things, and I think that as those become more possible, I'm a great fan of the iPhone and looking at the interface on there, all sorts of web-based things which are technically possible with other phones,
yep,
are just so simple and so pleasant. But yeah, people will start doing them and they'll start really using those a whole lot more.
It's interesting, you read about people saying, well, hey, the laptop might not be around forever and the mobile, you know, could start taking over more and more of that functionality, I guess. You know, what do you think?
I think there's one major challenge for the mobile phone in that people like changing it very frequently.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly here in the UK, all the leading edge youngsters with the big bills, they're changing their mobile phone every 6 months. They don't really want to change their MP3 player more than every couple of years.
Okay.
Their laptop is about 18 months. So you've actually got a sort of an inconsistency in ownership and fashion, which is creating a stress. And I know that a lot of people like Nokia are sort of pulling their hair out because they can provide you with a device that does everything you want,
mm-hmm.
and people carry on carrying two mobile phones and a PDA and a GPS.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. It seems that younger people are quite happy to be marketed to. Despite all of this, I suppose there seems to be acceptance that if you provide people with mobile advertising as ad-supported content, for example, and it has value to them, that they seem to be more open to it.
Yeah, ad-supported content is becoming increasingly the way that people expect to see lots of things. Add to that the things they expect to be free. So young people increasingly expect music to be downloaded free.
Mm-hmm.
But they will support, and those companies that try putting some streaming of advertising in, that works fine. And Seth Godin, who's very much a guru on this with his permission-based marketing,
yep.
hits the nail on the head. If it's stuff you want, then you're going to love to see it. So if you're looking for a pair of new Nike trainers, and you're in the mall and you get a message saying Nike trainer sale on now at Kohl's, Myers, whatever it might be, that's great. That is not intrusive. On the other hand, you get a message, you're a young teenager out with your mates, but baby food's on offer. Well, that's spam.
Who's doing it well in terms of ad-supported content? What kind of content are you seeing?
Nobody's really pushing it. I think the people that are doing it the funkiest, the people who are doing it for concerts, flash fun.
Yep.
There was actually one of the really clever ones in the UK was before the last but one general election, they were pushing out a message saying that we'll give you longer drinking hours if you vote Labour. Well, that was an advertising message pushed out at young people at a specific time of night. And the night before the election seemed to have some positive impact. And that's quite interesting because you get something quite stodgy, like politicians.
Yeah. So we're starting with the basis of marketing 101. It's got to meet a need. And then what we're doing is saying, as far as mobile is concerned, it's either locality-based, I need it because I'm in London and I don't know where the hell I am, or alternatively, I'll let you market to me on my terms and provide me with a service that is relevant to me that is quite desirable.
Yeah, as long as people feel that they're in control of the process.
Yep.
They will then give that control up for quite small incentives.
And in terms of, you know, we interviewed a company called AdMob the other day, and they just served 25 billion ads through their mobile network. They have mobile internet website publishers, and they link those with advertisers. So you can see there, again, in that locality-based or mobile information area that's where they're working, they're getting a lot of automotive companies and a lot of big blue-chip brands in the US particularly who are quite keen to experiment in that area. What are you seeing in the UK?
Some quite clever stuff, which is allowing people to flag up, where you can be in a store and there's a sign saying, you know, you want to know more about this, or you want to find out about this, or you want to tell us your opinion about it, then you can just text in straight from there, and that adds back, and some of them then give you a discount back as well. So by sending in your view, you're getting a bit of a discount in the store.
Okay, all right. What about social networks? I mean, I know Bebo are trialling through Intercasting some work over there at the moment, some new applications in the UK. And we see, you know, on the other hand, we see the figures for 300-odd million global users projected by whatever 2010. There seems to be social networks, as you talked earlier about with Twitter. It seems to be an area that makes sense.
Absolutely, and the one of the things I love doing is listening to other people on the train. And one of the things I've noted of late is a number of young people who are traveling from one city to another, and they're using things like Facebook
yep.
to organize that night's activity. They know roughly which club they're going to, but they'll sort it out where they're going to go first, and they're posting that up on the walls, and then other people may or may not come in. So it's this combination of planned and spontaneous, because you talk to five people you know about and say, right, we're going to be meeting here and here and here, and somebody else will chip in and say, well, what about me?
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. So I see this building more and more in terms of how people can use their mobile technologies to be able to do stuff. And it comes back as well to another form of the asynchronicity, which is, I'm here now. Who else is here now? There's a thing we're looking at in the States with dodgeball, again, when you're trying to meet up with people.
Yep.
So more and more, okay, I'm doing this. Is anybody else available now? Because now is when I want to do it.
Yeah.
Or I'm on the train to Nottingham. Who's there? What's happening tonight? All of that side. And again, the mobile technology and the networks. What would be interesting, because one of the biggest weaknesses of the networks at the moment is you only have one persona. So it's very difficult to have your business life on a social network and your friends and so on. But I see more and more of that being adapted where you can have multiple personas. So Crazy Ray is coming into Nottingham tonight, and I only want to know about Crazy Ray's contacts within the network. And the big thread, if 300 million comes off in terms of social networks, it will be because we can have cross-network connection. You know, I can be on Facebook,
exactly.
I can be on Bebo, somebody else is only on Twitter, and we can still hook up. At that stage, there'll be something really exciting. And people will accept ad-supported content in it. You know, all right, I know that if I'm going across to somebody else's network, there's going to be a bit of advertising.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't get in my way.
Or if it's a service, it's a facilitation service within that process.
Yeah, cheap beer at such and such.
Yeah. No, I was reading about a thing in they're talking about, and it might have been in the US, where they said that theoretically, in time, you could walk into a meeting and all the profiles of the people in the room who are lodged on that social network site could drop into your handset. So you could be sitting there going, oh, there's Brad over there. I know Brad's of this or that. And next thing, there's Ray over here. So now, obviously, there's loads of privacy issues, but they were talking about it on a working level, but also on a social level.
People with more social network activity have more face-to-face connectivity.
Really?
Yeah, there's been no end of studies looking into this. And the people with lots of friends online have lots of friends in real world, and the people who don't have many on one don't have many on the other.
And that's why we're having this conversation now.
Absolutely.
Ray, that's probably a good time to leave it. Mate, thank you very much for your time. We really appreciate it and your thoughts. If anybody wants to get any more information on the Future Place, just Google them like I did and you'll find them. We really appreciate your time and thanks very much.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks.
Ad News Podcast Series is an initiative from Oncom Communications and Stellar Sound. Ad News is Australia's top-selling advertising, marketing and media magazine. Visit oncom.com.au for marketing trend information and to register for a free fortnightly review newsletter. That's oncom.com.au.